Hare Krishna, I want to affectionately welcome all of you. I could think throughout the year, from time to time, we think of coming to the first Gauranga camp, and we remember, oh, there is this camp, and I will see the devotees there. I will listen to various things. Some of them are boring, others are interesting. Some are more relevant for me, some are less relevant. But we come and think about coming here. Now we finally made it, and I did hear that there is a 10% increase of devotees. It means many more have come. For me it is very, very important to do something special at this summer camp. Somehow I don't feel we can make spiritual advancement if we only keep on doing the same things which we already do. When we only do the things which we already do, we will keep getting the same results which we already get. So I like to think that this should not be just another summer camp, but it should be a summer camp where each one of us goes very deep in their Krishna consciousness. I have prepared something for you. I would like to talk about reading the Srimad Bhagavatam with relish, with taste or ukust. I will teach you how to get the jewels out of the Bhagavatam, and I want to also tell you the amazing story of the great devotee Vritta, who at the same time was acting as the greatest demon who ever existed, the greatest devotee and the greatest demon in one person. It's a very interesting narration from the Srimad Bhagavatam with extremely important lessons to all of us who are also sometimes conflicted between our spiritual and our material desires. So, yes, I welcome all of you from my heart. It will be very practical. I do hope that all of you will take a lot of inspiration with them from this summer camp and the many programs which are there. It's good if you you will hear today what the class will be about or the seminar, and then I think it's good if you like the subject, if you please come regularly, because I want to guide you into a deep spiritual experience for which I need a few sessions with you.
Yeah.
gospel of your life. It's extremely important that you focus on it. And it's part of the seminar. So please.
Thank you.
To this, the beginning of our little seminar, which will have each day a session except for the Ratha Yatra day, and maybe there's a Kirtan day. So I will talk a little on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it will be different than you are experienced to hear. I want to motivate you to daily, outside of this Bhagavatam or outside of the summer camp, start reading every day the Bhagavatam. This is my purpose, and for this I need to convince you intellectually, and I also need to motivate you so that you can overcome your spiritual laziness. And as a hard work which is there, I will sweat a lot. But I think at the end you will be self-realized souls. In my mind, I know I don't come so often any longer into the areas of Southeast Europe. I have become very, very busy in other places. And therefore I have to ask myself, what can I give in these brief visits that is of relevance to you and with which I can really serve you? I had to think about this for half a year, and the result is this, what I wish to present to you. And I really pray to Srila Prabhupada and to Gonitai and Radha Gopinath that they will give me the right words to reach you and touch you one more time in your heart and so on. Coming here, I find that many of you have given up hope to see Krishna in this lifetime, to meet the Lord, to become fully Krishna consciousness. Coming here, I see that you think that maybe Krishna consciousness has become something which you add to your life, your other life, intellectual life, your sensual life, or your private life, but it's not any longer the life itself. And this has a reason, because the faith which we have, the initial faith with which we join, must go through a series of serious progressions so that it becomes steady and develops into a deep, deep taste in spiritual life and in Krishna consciousness, which is deeper, of course, than the material sanskaras, the old desires, the old habits. So this journey of faith, if you want, or this journey of spiritual life, is something very essential for every one of us, and we need to explore our philosophy, and we need to explore also our teachers. How can they help us in this main project, this mission impossible to return back to Godhead in this life? Huh? This is very important. Now, in my own spiritual life, I will talk a little personally. I had a deep crisis maybe 25 years ago, because different from many of my godbrothers, I had not joined a movement or the association of others. I was always, my mother called me, "You are my small lonely wolf. You want to go in your own way and make your own experiences." I joined the movement for Krishna consciousness not to have association with many people. I was scared of that, and I knew there would be so many misunderstandings developing over the years because of the different levels of spiritual maturity. The reason why I personally joined was because I heard a promise from my spiritual master that if you practice this Krishna consciousness, you will meet God. Oh, that I like very much. And that promise is because I'm here. I don't know why you're here, but I think there are different motives in the room. This is natural, because we are different people. So And I had to, after 25 years of practice, or was it 20 years, you know, maybe, I'm not so good with numbers, because I don't think in numbers. I could see it was not working for me. I was not becoming deeply purified in my heart, and I didn't give up material attachments. And I was disappointed. What is this wrong? Is this process wrong? And at that time, I made a deep research into our Srila Prabhupada's words and our movement, and I found out one thing which that I discovered, that you can obtain love of Godhead and meet the Lord and serve Him personally if you learn to make a contact first with Him as the holy name. So here it was. But he said, and he had said it in my initiation letter, you have to do it properly. You have to do it in a way where you avoid the obstacles to pure Krishna consciousness. And so then I started my spiritual life all over again with the holy name as a center. And that was a very rewarding journey. And I just come from Radhadesh. I think you know Radhadesh from the internet. That's where every modern person gets his knowledge from. We have a kirtan course there. We have started 4 years ago, and we teach devotees actually to learn to chant the holy name properly, the philosophy. But then we teach them properly musical skills, how to use the instruments so that they can be kirtan leaders in exit festival. No? So there's a very able, or anywhere else that they can give a kirtan program on their own. We teach them also voice training, that they can develop a good voice. And we teach them the history of the kirtan movement, by telling them about Gauranga Leela and the different devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so on. It's a really nice course, and if you wish to learn kirtan, I can really recommend it. It's 8 weeks, and some good teachers are there. Also Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj is there. Top teachers come in. Yeah. One of our successes is one professor came, very famous professor, student of Ernst Bloch. It's a big name in the academic world. And he wrote now a revolutionary article called Kirtan, the End Station of Human Longing. And he will have to defend his thesis to top professors in the Dharma Castle in Berlin. That's the community where I am. And he will be drilled. And he has asked me to join him as a practical example of someone who does kirtan. I hope I don't disappoint the professors. So yes. And we have some exciting programs with kirtans going on, because that's the Yuga Dharma in the age. This is how you do things with the holy name. But my dear devotees, about maybe 7 to 8 years ago, I was surprised. I had to learn again everything from the beginning. Not kirtan, the kirtan remained, but I learned that in Kali Yuga, in this age, there is another source through which you can meet God. I learned this. It's by reading the Bhagavatam. I made this discovery in a very difficult situation. I was in Badrinath. Maybe you know, it's one of the four holy places in the Himalayas. And I had done a mistake. I had slipped through the military control and gone a forbidden path into the mountains, and no one knew that I was there. And then at the, I was on the way back, there was, the night came over me, and a mystical yogi was there, who was Hare Krishna, not quite kosher. and I was in danger and I collapsed as the night came. And at that time, I actually turned to the Bhagavatam. I felt I was in life danger. My body was getting cold, and I read this in the Bhagavatam, this prayer, Aham Haristava Vapadaika Mula. It's a prayer by Vritta. And I read it, and I read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, first Sanskrit, then the English translations and purport. And although I was really afraid that this yogi had taken, you know, some drug, unknown drugs, and he was behind me, I don't know what he wanted, and I collapsed and fell, and the night came, and my heart was not good, and you know that something was beating very irregular, and then I said, let me turn to the Bhagavatam, and I read this verse. Where the devotee prays, Oh my Lord, when, it's a very beautiful, I will call my orchestra here, and when will the time come, will you again call me to your lotus feet, so that I can engage all my words, all my activities and all my thoughts in your service. And Prabhupada wrote, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, this desire. My Lord, when will the time come when I can join you again, meet you again, and be with you only? You know, this is very much like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, who asks, where are you, Krishna? No? Where are you, Krishna? This idea of becoming fully Krishna consciousness. So I felt so uplifted when I read this Bhagavatam. I didn't know why. I got new strength in my bones. Heart began to beat normally, I guess, because the pain stopped. And I could move very fast, and then I ran, and I heard in the back of the yogi, ah! Because I was faster than him. And I will never do this again, because when I came to the military control, they said, what, you were there? Yes, I did not know that you were there. I was also going there. And they didn't do anything with me. Could go back to the place where I stayed in Valarikashram. This experience, my dear devotees, contacting the Bhagavatam in a difficult time, being lifted up to a very deep devotional understanding and feeling spiritual energy through my body, is something which surprised me at that time. Later, because I'm a little foolish by nature, as you all know, something happens and I need years to digest it. So then, maybe 2 years ago, I know, 5 years ago, I had another experience of reading the Bhagavatam regularly for a whole month and experiencing my consciousness changing, my energy to do things and understand things changing, and really experiencing the spiritual level. And then I became serious. And I gave different seminars on the Bhagavatam. The last was in England, in one very, very nice, it looks like a castle from outside. Very good. People came. And I will give you a few things from there. What is so special about the Bhagavatam that it is the main scripture in our Gaudiya Sampradaya? It's special because it is Krishna himself in a literary form. Take note. The time had come that Krishna left the planet. And as he was just passing through the atmosphere around the earth, he passed by a very, very evil looking personality. The Christian mythology would say something like Satan or Lucifer. Or the modern film industry would say Sauron. You know, it was really a very evil personality. It was the personality of Kali, who had to wait outside of planet Earth, you know, in that upper stratosphere or stratum, until Krishna left, because he couldn't come to the planet Earth as long as Krishna touched the earth with his lotus feet. So when Krishna left, Kali was waiting there, and he thought, oh, now I can come. And he went down to build a net of plan. You can see it's working quite well, what he did. And Krishna thought, oh no, I'm leaving now, and Kali is coming. What will happen with the souls? Kali is much stronger than them, and Kali will turn them all away from Dharma, from the proper way of action. Oh no! At that time, when Krishna felt out of his compassion, something manifested from him. Jiva Goswami describes it as a prati nidhi form. It means a representation. Something came out of his merciful heart, and that was the Bhagavatam. And the Krishna declared, anyone who takes shelter in this age of Kali, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, my representative form, he will be protected against the evils of Kali Yuga. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes this. I want to chant this for you. Krishna Sva Damo Bhagate Dharma Jnana Vibhisaha Kalo nashta drishamesha purana kodunodita. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali. Shall get light from this Purana. So this verse, welcome. This verse makes it very clear that Krishna has come in the form of a sacred text, a sacred book. And if you learn to associate with Krishna in this form, you will have the support you need to not become influenced by the age of Kali and to move very nicely forward on your way back home, back to Godhead. And the author of the Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva, an incarnation of Krishna, and he had a very, very, very traumatic experience. He had composed the entire Vedic literature and felt so dissatisfied in his life. Don't we all know this? We try to do something, we try to maybe have a good career, something which makes sense, a good work, or we try to find our place in life, or we try, some of us are maybe artists and or writers, we try to write something, and it is all so very, very empty what we do, and we don't feel any connection with it. We don't like our family any longer. We don't like our, let me speak in devotee terms, we don't like anything any longer. It just doesn't make sense. We can't relate to it any longer. And a deep sense of frustration comes at that moment over a person. A deep sense of frustration. So Vyasadeva has written the very literature for the people in the age of Kali. And he felt it so frustrated that he thought, now only my guru can help me. Then Narad, knowing very well that his disciple had really a question, it was not just something he said, but he really, really needed him now. He immediately was there. Oh, he was there and said, oh, why are you so dissatisfied? And Vyasa said, I honestly don't know, but I have some feeling in my heart. My feeling tells me, but I don't know. Please, you need to tell me that maybe I did not put the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the center of my writing. Maybe I wrote too much about things, how to enjoy this world in a religious way, or how to attain liberation from the world. And Narada said, you must know that words which do not describe the glories of Krishna, or talk which is not about Krishna, it's a garbage pile of words. It's just garbage, what you say. He said, it's a pilgrimage for crows. And you see in India this huge, huge pile of garbage, and the crows come, gag, 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 and said, that is, in one lifetime, each one of us has maybe produced also a huge pile of garbage words. I'm sorry, is it too strong? Can I say it? I don't want to disturb you, but so many unnecessary words. Oh, so many. Internet, so much unnecessary words. Piles, sky high. But only the crowds come, not the wise people. Not those who are honest, not those who have a good character, they don't feel attracted. So you must talk about Krishna. You must put Krishna in the center of your Vedic literature. And Vyasadeva felt like, good. No one. Oh, Krishna. He immediately could see it. But he could not see how to write the book. So he sat down at the banks of the Sarasvati and he meditated. And as he meditated, my dear devotees, he had a vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord Anantashesha. Then a little in the distance, in the back of the Lord, as if she was afraid, she saw Maya. And he also saw the living entities. When the living entities are at the back of the Lord, they see Maya, and they can't see God. But when they come to bhakti, that is devotional service, they come to the front of the Lord, and they actually can see the Lord. So he saw the problem of all of us, that we are somehow at the back of the Lord. We are not directly in front of him in our lives. He's there, like someone a little in the distance. But he's not really in front of our eyes, in front of our thoughts, in front of our activities, in front of our life. And that's how we have created this artificial problem with Maya, who covers us and who also pulls us into the material and entangles us into the material energy. So he could see this and he could understand, I must write in such a way that bhakti appears. And the Bhagavatam is a result of his mature composition. He was mature. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam. He said, this beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. That means you don't need anything else. He said, what is the need of any other scripture? Wow, no need. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. Have you heard this, or would you like to hear it again? Anadi Krishna Yogi, I think it is so deep that we need to hear it again. So if you hear this, how do you need to hear it? Who has heard? Attentively and submissively. Then the Lord is established in the heart. He's there. You see him. You meet him. Still misleading. What do you think? This is something, no? Good project. You must attentively hear. Sorry. There is a problem with us, Maya people. We can't give full attention to Krishna because our mind is so disturbed. Because of this, turning our back to Krishna. I'm sorry. Can I have a bigger glass and I don't need to always go for more? But I need a warm. Can you empty it and bring it? I'm sorry, I lost my voice in Vrindavan. we say like this, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. I lost my voice in this We had AC and only AC in this huge sadhu sangha mela, and we were singing so much, too much. I lost my voice in America. So one big problem of the conditioned soul is we fail to give proper attention. I saw this when you started to chant. Ooh, you, thank you, you know everything. You need to serve water. I saw that when you started to chant Hare Krishna, you were not so focused, but later you were very focused, really, you were on Krishna. You can see that when you do japa, it's so difficult to be attentive for the 2 hours, because we have turned our back to Krishna. That's why we're here. And now we have to turn our attention fully to Krishna. It's almost that we go against millions of years of bad habit. You know, it's not easy. It's very difficult. Haridas Thakur even says, no one on his own can control the restless mind. It's not possible. Victory over the mind is only possible by Krishna's vilas, by Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we must pray for this. So I wanted to end this. I can see I'm coming to the time where we should end. But being fully attentive to the Bhagavatam or to the holy name, I have everything. Thank you. Yes, everything. Thank you. The main thing is we talk. See, everyone will look at you and not hear anything any longer. So we must keep the attentive atmosphere. The yoga of full attention, or traktaka even, is extremely difficult. It's something which yogis aspire for a long time. So to give attention to the holy name and the Bhagavata, you need to really practice that. And we will talk about this in the seminar, how to practice giving full attention. But here I want to just end with a little story which has really moved me very much. There were once two brothers. One was a saint and the other was a sinner. Dundukari was the sinner and Gokarna was the saint. Dundukari was so bad. He wasted the money of his family and he drank alcohol and so on, that his father, as far as I know, his name is Atmavan. Did he ever also serve him? Nectar devotee, Atmavan. His name was, this was the original Atmavan. He was so frustrated with Dundukari that Atmavan left for the forest. When Dundukari saw this, he was very happy because now his mother was defenseless. And he came with a knife to her and said, give me your gold. You're my son? Yes, and I want your gold. I'm out of money. You are asking me, your mother, for the ornaments which I wear when I go to the temple. You are so cruel. Dundukari just slapped his mother in the face that the blood ran out of her nose. His mother was shocked. Give me your gold, the last time I'm speaking to your mother. My son, my husband. And she ran outside the house, there was a well, she jumped into the well and killed herself. Dundukari said, good. He took the gourd, and from that day he lived with 5 prostitutes in the house. His brother was on pilgrimage. He became a devil, really. Finally, the prostitute thought, this is too much. I mean, what this man does with us is really beyond. We are what we are, but this is too much. And they decided to bind him in his sleep on his bed and then put knives into him. But Dundukari was so strong, he just screamed and made so much noise that the prostitutes at the end took a burning thing of fire and just stuffed it in his mouth. The fire ate his neck, and he died a terrible death. So when Gokarna came back, he wanted to say, where's my brotherji? But the house was empty, so he stayed. Mother is also not there. He stayed there. And the night, all of a sudden, a powerful ghost came who changed shapes. First, it was with horns, then it was an animal. It looked really like the one whose name should not be said in the public assembly. And finally, he said, this ghost said, I'm your brother. Please liberate me. I'm now in the form of a ghost. I'm suffering so much. So Gokarna said, you are Dundukari? Yes, Dundukari. What happened to mother? Mother, I was the cause of our mother's death. Oh, you're very simple. Yes, very simple. But liberate me, brother. Is there something you know to liberate me? I'm suffering in hell. So Gokarna said, wait, tomorrow. And he did a yajna. He prayed to Surya Dev, the Lord of the Sun. And he asked, my brother is very bad. What can I do for him? He's a ghost as a result of his sinful activities. And the sun god said, you must recite the Bhagavatam for him. You should make for 7 days a recital of the Bhagavatam and invite him to come. So Gokarna sang every day for 7 days the Bhagavatam. At the end of the 7th day, there was a loud explosion. A bamboo tree broke. At the same time, Vimana, an airplane from Vaikuntha, came with the Vishnu Dutas. And out of the broken tree came Dundukari, walking towards the Vishnu Dutas. The Vishnu Duta touched him and gave him a spiritual body with a beautiful garland around his neck. And they said, come with us back home, back to God. And Dundukari, now in his spiritual form, went on the transcendental airplane. Something amazing happened. The people in the audience shouted, no! he is a sinner, but we are not sinners. We have also heard the Bhagavatam. Why don't we go? The Vishnu Duta said, listen, there is a difference between you, your hearing, and his hearing. He was hearing absolutely attentively and submissively because he had no other shelter. You didn't listen like this. We just listen. I've heard that. Yes, I've heard this. So this will be over tonight, pizza. You know. He had no other point in his mind. He was there. He was not absent-minded. He was present-minded. He was not spaced out. He was spaced in. Yes. And that's how he came. Went back to Godhead. My dear devotees, in my coming lectures, I want to serve you the Bhagavatam. What I hope to do is, I will speak a little bit about how to relish the Bhagavatam, how to access, so to say, the jewels of the Bhagavatam, and I will then also tell what is for me the, up till now, the most, let me say, very difficult to say, the most amazing, no, it's the second most amazing the story of the Bhagavatam. See, we as human beings, we as devotees have one problem. We are outside devotees, at least for a few days, with tilak and our dress. But inside, we have all kinds of plans and ideas and attachments. But the personality which I want to introduce to you is totally different. He's outside and behaving in a way which is amazing. I mean, really very, very, very asuric. But inside, it turns out, he's the greatest devotee, so great that the Bhagavatam is identified as the Bhakti Shastra because of his prayers and his experiences. And I want to tell you this because I think it will help us to deal with our conflicting natures also, you know, and build the bridge between the two sides in us, the conditioned side and the spiritual side. Good. I will end here. I thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be with you. I'm want to see now what is it. We have about 7 minutes time. Is there any question out of this exalted audience of great Vaishnavas who are here? Hare Krishna. Not all at once, please.
My question would be, how can we give such rapt attention if we are not suffering in like life danger, or if the situation is not so serious? Is it possible, and how?
Yes, the Bhagavatam gives you a sadhana, means a spiritual practice. See, in spiritual life, there's always a goal which is presented, and then is a practice. First there is knowledge, sambandha gyan, then there is prayojana, the goal, and then it's abhideya. To make it simple, there's some initial knowledge given, then the goal is described, here is where you go, and this is how you do it. The Bhagavatam says there are three, our tradition says there are three practices, and I will teach you them. Shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasan. It means you hear something, you reflect about it and bring it a little deeper, and then you immediately act on the new insights, and you will, something will change in your environment. You know, you put some enlightened action out, and you will see something changes outside with your friends. To speak yogically, the energy field around you and the people will change when you act differently. So that will make a thing. Let me give an example. If I would do something now totally impossible, you all would be disturbed and throw me out, and I would have to start a new life. You know. So if you do something very good, there will be a reaction, and your life will be new. some consequences. Hare Krishna, some small example. And to help this process, there is a fourth very powerful process which I will talk about. There is a sadhana. I feel a lot of our inner, let me say, the reason that we don't move so well forward is that we don't understand the practice properly, and we don't apply it, and then we don't get results. This I have seen in my life, at least. Murari Chaitanya.
Yes, I want to add to his question, is how not to forget our situation that we become so attentive, actually. How not to lose this vision of our situation, that everything is so temporary, that we become serious and apply a sadhana, as you said. How not to lose this
focus.
Yes.
Okay. How to not lose the focus.
Yes.
The scriptures always say we must go into the assembly of Vaishnavas. It's just like a beggar who is poor. He must know there are good addresses to get something to eat. So he goes there, knocks at the door, and he will get something to eat. So in the same way, when we are feeling we are poor in bhakti, we must know the right assembly of devotees. Where bhakti is generated and is increased, and then the bhakti is developing. First, some faith is coming back, then some really some great taste, and finally some prema, some love is coming. And that association, proper association, that puts a great responsibility in us. And us as a movement, to have a movement, a clean movement, where there is no material energy there, so that people can really be benefited in our Sangha. Mm-hmm. I thank you very much. I need to just make one small announcement in my own capacity, in my own on my own behalf. Unfortunately, I did too much, and I'm a very sensitive person, so something happened with the heart, and I'm not in a good situation of health, and need to change something. So I won't be able to see as many devotees as I usually see on a one-to-one basis, because that sitting for a long time and taking on the anyways, all these subtle things, it is really very dangerous at this moment. And so the way we are trying to do it, you all have to be mature and help us. We want to make groups of devotees, and then I discuss with groups of devotees. But it will not be possible for me to see all of it, to see individual, to have individual things, because at least that's what the doctors say. So we will try something. What I wish to do now is I will go outside now, and then all of you who want to greet me, we can all be there for half an hour, and then we can say Hari Bol and Tishala and be like this. Good. I thank you very much. It's not, I will overcome this, but if I don't do it now, they say, I will be in serious difficulty. Then you don't have me for many more years. Maybe some are always happy, but others aren't. I want to continue my seva for many years. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.